It is certainly a joy to be able to spend this time with you. I had opportunity to meet several of you as I've come through the door and as you came through the door today. A lot of you made mention that I did look familiar, and I was here a couple of years ago, I believe, 2014, during a very similar type of thing, a summer series, which was just a couple of years ago, and I certainly appreciate the opportunity to be here once again and appreciate the invitation to be able to spend this time with you during this series. I am near the very, very end, as was mentioned. I'd love to be able to say the best is saved for last, but I really can't. The best is saved for second to last, and that just doesn't really have the same ring. So got one more week, I believe, with the book of Romans. It really is a powerful book. And I am sure that the lessons that have been delivered thus far have been good and have been helpful and practical for you as you work on bettering your relationship with God. And that's really, in a lot of ways, what we're going to do with our time today. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, there's a very familiar passage to us in a lot of ways. It is the powerful admonition that we have from the Apostle Paul, where he tells us, and really we are commanded, do not conform to the world, but transform yourself by the renewing of your mind. And we think about that, and in a lot of ways, that idea sounds pretty general. Don't conform to the world, but transform yourself. And when we think about those things, and when we think about something like that, especially in a general kind of way, sometimes we struggle with understanding where that fits specifically in my life. You know, it sounds good to say, and it sounds nice to be able to say, that's not me, I don't conform, I'm going to transform. But it sounds very general. It sounds like one of those giant umbrellas. And when that's the case, sometimes we struggle to find where that fits specifically for me. But maybe we do find places specifically where that idea can fit for us. And the reality of that, sometimes not conforming to the world is difficult. Sometimes it's hard not to conform to the world. Sometimes it's hard for us not to fall prey to those temptations of the masses. And that's really, in a lot of ways, what I call it. It's when everybody is headed in one direction, and sometimes it's difficult not to get wrapped up into that wave and just fall in line right with everybody else. I understand sometimes it's hard to do that, whether we're in school or whether we're at work or whether we're around our friends or our family. Sometimes it's difficult not to get pulled in to what everybody else is doing. God understands that. But yet still, we have right here in Romans chapter 12 the command not to do it. So tonight, in a few moments, we're going to talk about, for just a second, how not to conform. And I'm going to share with you one word that we're going to really center on in a lot of ways. And we're going to branch off of that one word in two different directions. And the one word really center on tonight, on helping us not to conform to the world, is the idea of dedication. And so that's where we're going to focus. We're going to focus on dedication because I believe here in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 8, Paul is helping us to see that. He wants us to be dedicated. Number one, he wants us to be dedicated to God. And number two, he wants us to be dedicated to each other. And if we can focus on those two things, not conforming to the world becomes much simpler. I have on the screen behind me a picture of a man that probably not a lot of you would be too familiar with, Bertoldo Giovanni. He is, in every way, one of the most well-renowned sculptors that has ever been. But a lot of times we don't know who he is, but we absolutely know who surrounds him. He studied and was the pupil of an incredible sculptor, especially of his time, Donatello. But he's most well known for being the teacher of arguably the greatest sculptor that has ever been, Michelangelo. And there's a famous story with Bartoldo and Michelangelo. When Michelangelo was 14 years old, And Bartoldo understood and he saw the incredible talent that Michelangelo had and knew very quickly that he was different and that he was special and that he needed to be pushed and driven in a certain way to take advantage of all of the incredible abilities that he had. And the story goes that one day Bartoldo comes in to their studio where Michelangelo, age 14 at this time, was working on some sculpture that Bartoldo thought was well below his abilities. And the story goes that Bartoldo picks up a pipe of some sort and walks over to the sculpture that Michelangelo was working on and smashes that sculpture to pieces. I mean, just smashes that thing. And then he shares with him an unforgettable message. And that message was this: talent is cheap, dedication is costly. And that really, in a lot of ways, is a pretty powerful message. We struggle sometimes with understanding what dedication is. We have things that we like. We have things that we enjoy. We have things that we love in the way that we use that word today. But how many things are we dedicated to? You see, Bartoldo was telling Michelangelo, you need to be dedicated to sculpting. You need to be dedicated to this art. And in Romans chapter 12, God is telling us, if we don't want to find ourselves conforming, if we want to transform, as he tells us to do, we have to be dedicated. And first off, he says, we've got to be dedicated to God. And he shares with us three things that we've got to do to make that happen. If you're open to Romans chapter 12, hopefully you are by now. You've had plenty of time. Everybody should be there right now, Romans chapter 12. Let's read it together. We're going to read all eight verses, and then we'll come back to the very beginning. Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. The Apostle Paul says this: I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. All right, now let's take that and let's go all the way back to the beginning. How is it that in our lives we cannot fall prey to following the masses, but allow God to transform us? Number one, we've got to be dedicated. I'm talking dedicated to God. How do we do that? Well, Paul helps us right here in Romans chapter 12. Number one, if you want to be dedicated to God, you have to be willing to give God your body. I want you to think about just for a second. Before you trusted in Christ, but before you gave yourself over to Him, we would use our bodies. We used our bodies for sinful pleasures. We'd use our bodies for those kinds of purposes. But as Christians, we now belong to Him, and we have to be willing and understanding the importance of using our bodies to His glory. And listen to what Paul will say over in the book of 1 Corinthians. You can hold your finger in Romans 12. We'll certainly be coming back there here in just a moment. But over in the book of 1 Corinthians, in chapter 6, and in verse 19, again, the Apostle Paul here, brethren in Corinth, he tells them and reminds them about their bodies. And he has this to say. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. Verse 20, but you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. A lot of times we make reference to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19 to make the point that our bodies are the temple of God. And we make points and applications based off of that. But I need us not to forget what he says there in verse 20, that it is with our bodies we are glorifying God. Now, what does that look like? Well, to me, one of the best examples of that, again, the Apostle Paul in the book of Philippians. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 20 and 21, listen to what he says. According to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I will be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also, listen to him, Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. I want you to think about what the Apostle Paul is saying here in Philippians chapter 1. In the book of Philippians, it's an incredible book as you study, especially understanding the context and especially the circumstance with which Paul writes that book. Being in prison, it would seem on the outside nothing would be going great for him. It seemed that things weren't going his way, but yet he writes a book and it's filled with such joy, it's filled with such confidence. And he wants to share that in so many different ways. And he's talking to them towards the very beginning of this incredible book. That when it comes to me and the way that I live, my focus is that Christ is magnified in my life. Now you want to talk about simplifying things. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21. It is the most simplified version of living a Christian life that you can find. Because Paul will say, for to me, to live is Christ. That's it. Sometimes we talk about ourselves, or we more often may talk about someone else. And maybe they work a lot. And we may use the expression, that guy over there, he's all about his work. That's what he's all about. Or maybe they love to fish, or they love to golf, or whatever the case may be, and we make reference. This guy over here, he's all about fishing. I mean, that's his life. His life is fishing. Or this guy's life. His life is golf. That's what his life is. Or maybe he's dedicated to his family, and you make reference to something like that. This man, his life is his family. We use that phrase all of the time. And Paul is using that phrase too. And he says, my life is Christ. For to me, to live is Christ. And I'll tell you, as I read a passage like that, I enjoy the simple. I enjoy the easy to think about. And even though the significance of a passage like that is profound, it's about as simple as it gets. And we have to consider in our own mind, is that something that we could say? Is that something someone else can say about me? That my life is Christ. If they were to look at me and say, you know what, that guy right there, that all I can think about is he's Christ. He's God. That's what I think about when I think about Jeremy, because that's who he's talking about all the time. That's where he's living, and that's what he's showcasing. And that's why Paul says, when I'm going to use my body to magnify Christ. Back in Romans chapter 12, Paul will make mention of the fact that we are to be living sacrifices. You'd be hard-pressed. It's impossible to find a better example anywhere than Jesus when it comes to being a living sacrifice. Paul makes reference to the importance of presenting ourselves that way. That verb present there, and that way kind of gives that idea that we present once and for all. It is a definite command. Just as the bride and groom give themselves or present themselves to each other, that's how we are to be for Christ. Why do we do that? Well, in that same verse, Paul gives us two reasons. Number one, he says that we do that because it's the right response for all that God has done for us. Think about how he begins this passage. I beseech you, therefore, brethren. Why? By the mercies of God. Paul says this is the right response. It's the right response to what God has done. It's the right response to what God has shown in our life, what He has sacrificed for us. I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. And then secondly, why it is that we do that? I use the New King James Version. At the end of that verse, he makes the point that it is our reasonable service. New American Standard Version, the English Standard Version, and really most others, we'll use the phrase spiritual worship. It is our spiritual worship. You want to be dedicated to God? You begin by giving Him your body. You begin by each day thinking about how I can live to magnify Christ. How can I live to glorify God? If that's the case, we're starting to understand what it means to be dedicated to God. Secondly, you give God your mind. Right there in that passage that we're so familiar with in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind. The world wants to control your mind. God, He wants to transform your mind. You think about the world and how it operates. You think about advertisement and how it operates. The world, Satan, he's looking to control our mind. That's what he's looking to do. He's looking to control us. He's looking to get us to kind of move with the masses. God, he wants to transform us. That word transform here in Romans chapter 12 is the exact same word that's used in Matthew 17 in talking about Jesus transfiguring himself. Metamorphosis is that English word that we often use. And the importance of that is it begins to describe a change, but not just a change from the outside, but a change from the inside. Now, how does he do that? Well, he does that by transforming our mind, making us spiritually minded. That's a phrase we often use. It's kind of a religious-y phrase. I don't think religious-y is a word, but you understand what I mean. It's kind of one of those religious-y words, right? Spiritually minded. But it's a word I like. It's a phrase I like a lot. Now, I'd like to be referenced as spiritually minded. That's what he's talking about right here. Not to be conformed to the world, worldly minded, but to be spiritually minded. And how does that happen? How does God transform our minds to be more spiritually minded? Well, He does that through His Word in a lot of ways. And that it goes to showcasing the importance of reading God's Word, meditating on God's Word. Because those things make our minds more spiritual. I put up here on the screen 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. Again, the Apostle Paul here says, "But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." That idea of being spiritually minded. I often make reference. I've been preaching. I try to think of myself still as a young preacher. One of our elders at Southwest, where I am in Lakeland, he told me several years ago that I'm still a young preacher until I hit 40. And then at 40, I'm a middle-aged preacher now. And I turned 40 earlier this year. So I guess I'm no longer a young preacher, but sad. Yes. I have a 15-year-old son. My oldest son is here with me. He's driving now, and that doesn't make me feel young, that's for sure. I've been preaching for 15 years or so, I guess. And I don't know how many times, from the pulpit or in Bible classes, I've made the point about how important it is to regularly be in God's Word. Whether it's reading God's Word or meditating upon God's Word, studying God's Word, I can't begin to put a number on the amount of times that I've talked about the importance of that. Brother Kent probably is in the same boat as I am. He's a middle-aged preacher like me, right? Appreciate that. But I'll tell you, and I'll continue to say, I don't apologize for any of those times I've said it. I don't know any better way to elevate our relationship with God. I don't know any better way to get closer to God. I don't know any better way to become more spiritually minded than just digging into what God has provided for us. I'll continually say, as long as I'm given the incredible blessing to preach the gospel, how important it is to regularly feast upon God's Word. And I'll not apologize for that. If you want to be dedicated to God, you've got to be willing to give Him your mind. The world wants to control it. God wants to transform it. How does that happen? It happens by God's Word. God's Word is powerful. But I'll tell you what God's Word does. God's Word changes man. That's what it does. God's Word changes man. That's the power that it has. But we've got to be willing to get into it. Thirdly, at the beginning of this, you give God your body, you give God your mind, and lastly, you give God your will. The very end of verse 2. After he says, not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Your mind controls your body, and your will controls your mind. We've got to be willing to give God all of those things. How do we do that? Well, we surrender our wills. We do so through study. We surrender our wills through the walk that we live daily. We surrender our wills through prayer, much like Jesus does in the garden. Not my will, but yours be done. An incredible example for us right there. Surrendering our will. Giving our rights away. And so when we start to think about all of these things together, you want to be dedicated to God. We've got to start each day, each and every day, by yielding Him our bodies and our minds and our wills. And if we can do that, now that is true dedication to God. And if we can do that, not conforming to the world becomes much simpler. But yet here in this text, he gives us something else. Not just a dedication to God. I think it's the important piece for sure. But he also makes reference to our relationship with each other. Being dedicated to the brethren. He's a great illustrator, Paul is. He's a great picture drawer with his words. And when it comes to the church, he uses several different pictures. And one of the best, I think, and the easiest to grasp and to comprehend when it comes to the church specifically is the illustration that he uses with reference to the body. He makes reference in passages like in Ephesians chapter 1 that Christ is the head of the church and kind of give you the idea there. But here in Romans chapter 12, you have that picture of the body and that we are members all together, but yet we are different and we do different things. A very similar illustration is given to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I always appreciated that because it's easy to remember. Yeah, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and Romans chapter 12. Those are the two best passages that best illustrate the church as a body. And that's what Paul does for us here. And what he wants us to understand several things, but we're going to begin by thinking about when it comes to being dedicated to each other, is an understanding that we, number one, belong to each other, that we minister, we serve one another, but maybe more importantly, that we just need each other. We need each other. God, He knows what He's doing. He understands man better than we can ever comprehend man. He is the one that is in place. He is the one who has called us and commanded us to be together. He is the one that has given us direction in our worship. He is the one that has given us direction in our fellowshipping with one another. Our hospitality to one another, our love for one another. He's given us the direction of all of those things. And it's not because He just loves seeing His people together. He does that because He knows, unfortunately better than we do, that we need each other. And if we're not to be conformed to the world, that we're not to be pulled away by the masses, how do we do that? We've got to have each other to help with that. Yes, we've got to be dedicated to God. There's no question about that. But yet we also have to be dedicated to one another. And it gives us a couple of things to think about. The first is, I guess they're both going to come up at the same time. Just a little preview for what's to come. It saves me from having to push the button again. Number one of verse 3, the importance of making an honest evaluation of ourselves. I want you to know, it's not in any way wrong to recognize that you have certain gifts in this world, in this life. It's not wrong to recognize that. But yet we have to recognize where it is those gifts come from. We've got to recognize that, yeah, we have certain gifts. We have certain blessings. We have certain abilities. But it's important to recognize where it is those gifts come from, that those gifts come from God. We can't stand back and take credit for all those things. But what we can do is accept those blessings, accept those abilities, and use them to honor Him and His name and to glorify His name. To use those things to help one another. That's why I have right after that the importance of faithfully cooperating with one another. Each of us have different gifts and abilities. Each of us have different strengths and weaknesses. And it is that way on purpose. Because God knows that gives a local body some balance. Always make reference here, and we're studying from Romans chapter 12, that especially through the list that He gives us and all of these things, whether it's prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion, ministry, use it in ministering, teaches, exhorting, giving, showing mercy. I love to make the point that all of these things, exhorting one another, showing mercy to one another, giving to one another, they're in the exact same list as teaching and preaching. And sometimes we skew the balance of thinking of what's really important versus what isn't. And God wants us to understand that, listen, I as the preacher, where we are at Southwest, I need everybody that's there. I need everybody. And you here in Brooksville, you need everybody. And when we can really start to feel that, we start to really feel and connect and understand that dedication. And when we think about not conforming to the world, or you're struggling with getting wrapped up in the wave of the masses, you think about those two things. you think about and you work on your own dedication to God. You give Him your mind and your body and your will. But you also dedicate yourself to the brethren. You lean on them for help. You lean on them for encouragement. You acknowledge that you need them, but yet also share that with them. When was the last time you just took aside a brother or sister and just let them know how important they are to you? Not just, hey, it's good to see you today, or man, what a great job you did leading singing or preaching today. We need those things. I enjoy that just as much as anybody. But when was the last time you just took somebody aside, a brother or sister, and you just let them know, you know what? I'm glad I have you in my life. You are important to me. You see, what that does is, man, that pulls people together so tight. And when we're living in this world and it becomes difficult to pull away from the masses, we've got God and we've got each other. And I'm telling you, as God has shown us, we don't need anything else. Not conforming to the world, but transforming our mind is a command from God. It's what He wants of His people. But He's not just willy-nilly throwing these commands out to us. In His goodness and in His mercy, in His love, He has provided us the means to get it done. When I read a passage like this in Romans chapter 12, those are the things that I consider. Those are the things that I think about. And I come away and I think, you know what? I struggle sometimes. I struggle sometimes with pulling away from the world. I struggle sometimes with being seemingly out on a limb all by myself. I don't like the feeling of that. I don't like that feeling of being out there all by myself, whether it's at school or whether it's at work. But how do we get over that? You realize you're not out there by yourself. Because you're dedicated to a God who is bigger than anything. And you're dedicated to the brethren that are right here in a room of, I don't know how many we have even here tonight. But you think about those things and suddenly that limb's not feeling as alone anymore. Not conforming to the world isn't as difficult as it once was because I have a God who loves me and has given everything for me. And I have brethren who need me and brethren whom I need. It is a powerful text. And it really gets me to think about those two things. Gets me to check myself. To make sure that I'm truly dedicated to God. That I'm just not providing lip service. But not just that, I'm also dedicated to the brethren. You know, those two things are often hand in hand throughout Scripture. In the book of 1 John, as we close in 1 John chapter 4, John there, as he writes through that short epistle, he shares with us, the one who says, I love God, but hates his brother, is a liar. Those things are hand in hand. We need God. We need each other. And with that, we can pull away from what the world is offering and stand strong for God as we magnify Him in our lives. I appreciate you listening so well tonight. We're going to sing this song of invitation, a song of encouragement. It gives us an opportunity to consider our relationship with God. And it is an incredible opportunity for all of us. Because we just simply don't know how many more opportunities that we have. So because of that, right now, this represents the very best opportunity that we have ever had. To really think about where we are with God. Don't let this opportunity slip by. Maybe you can be helped in some way tonight. If that's the case, let us know as we stand and sing.